Thank you for rejoining us right here on the morning show for Terry Radio 93.1 FM. It's now time to talk about trending affairs, trending matters, trending issues, basically. And the executive members of the Academic Staff Union of Universities, ASU, led by the president, of course, Professor Emmanuel Shodeke, is scheduled to meet and discuss the apparent inability of the federal government to meet their demands. The ASUNEC is also expected to deliberate on the half salaries paid to its members by the federal government last month. The meeting is expected to cause some palpable tension among university communities. This one is coming from the Guardian newspaper. We have S. Egon here to help us shed more light on this particular issue. S. Egon, good morning, and what do you think?
Greetings. Well, like Skywalker always points out, when you have unions and associations like that, mm-hmm. they are basically there to look out for the welfare of their members to mm-hmm. ensure that their members are taken care of, are not cheated, mm-hmm. their rights mm-hmm. are not infringed upon, mm-hmm. and at least their general well-being and all that. So where you have a union that have been agitating for better quality education at the tertiary level,
okay.
and as a result of their genuine agitations, mm-hmm. you know, based on their passion,
mm-hmm.
you know, for things to change,
mm-hmm.
They went ahead to go on strike, and mm-hmm. then now the members are suffering as a result of that, because that is what it is. Mm. It is suffering.
Mm.
Definitely, we have to find a way to continue to engage with the federal government,
yes.
you know, going forward. So mm-hmm. anything that they do now mm. will basically fall in line with such agitations to mm. ensure mm. that the welfare of their members are taken care of, because mm. I mean, it is not a good thing.
Mm.
And like Skywalker has been pointing out, this attempt to set a very, very bad precedent. It's really, really uncalled for. But, you know, we can't take it away from, you know, the issue of capacity. You know, I mean, if someone is able to do to the extent to which he or she has the capacity to do,
mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we'll be pushing it and we'll be unfair.
True.
Really. And mm-hmm. and that is why I keep telling us to get to that point where, one, we just understand that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we are. This is what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And as is now, presently, there is nothing we can do about it but to cope until, you know, the time. But then, while, you know, going through and coping with that, it is what it is. Then we need to ramp up our knowledge base, because we cannot definitely continue like this.
Mm.
You know, on a regular basis, I go out on the street, a random person that I don't know, you know, maybe because we're in a cab or we're just strolling beside each other, just raises the issue of the current hardships, you know, and just, and I'm like, well, you guys collected 5,000 naira, and this is the result of it. So, because I don't know what else you want me to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the point in time, we try to tell you that it is not by collecting 5,000 naira. You need to think, you know, far and wide before making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what we need to do is get to that point where we, as individuals mm-hmm. and as families collectively, mm-hmm. as organizations, mm-hmm. you know, we get our enlightenment level up, you know, we get our visionary status up. You know, so that we can choose those that are visionary, those that have the capacity, you know, to be in charge. And then when we put them there, we will be able to monitor them and ensure that they are doing what needs to be done. You understand? Not just that, you know, we go ahead and put them there and then we leave things be. No, we'll be, and what that we also mean is that we will be good followers. We will not be the type of followers that, oh, we are visionary in thinking, we are put visionary leaders there. Then when you want to do wedding, you now go and meet the elected official that I want to do wedding, or I want to roof my house, or my children's school fees and
yes.
all that. You see, those are the things that we are still running now. And that is why things can get to this point. You know, imagine the child you are going to collect school fees for is at home for 8 months. So what did you spend the school fees on? And you collect the school fees and you say, and you open your mouth to say, ah, no, in your dadani, or this particular politician, or this House of Assembly member, or this National Assembly member, or this governor, or this particular politician is a good person. When I needed school fees, you know, for my son that was returning to university, he gave me the school fees, but your son is now at home 8 months, you know, and things are still hotting up. Not really settled.
Yes.
So, how do you think that has that is a meaningful thing or is a good thing for you to rejoice that a politician gave you money for school fees? My wife is sick in the hospital. You're going to collect money. And then you go there, you don't see doctors.
All right.
You understand? So we really need to have a rethink, because if not, we continue to have these conversations over and over again until we do the needful.
All right. All right, then. Let's come to Skywalker still on this. Skywalker still shed some more light on this particular issue, talking about ASUU and the federal government. Some people are saying that the federal government seems nonchalant about the whole ASUU situation. What do you think?
The government has a strategy that it has refined, and that strategy is not to pay in order to tell other unions who are, you know, planning or have this who have this imagination to go on strike and not look for a way to quickly resolve those issues. So that's the strategy, and that's why you're seeing that whatever effort has been made by individuals, by corporate bodies, by, you know, even stakeholders in the education sector itself, not just, you know, the education sector, but the tertiary level. Yeah. I mean, former VCs have intervened, governing councils have intervened, you know, who else has not put his mouth in this matter?
Even to the leader of the House of Reps.
Everybody, one way or the other, has found, you know, the need to wade into this issue. And the issue seems not to have any kind of solution. But we all know that everything still lies on what the government decides to do at the end of the day. Because as it is today, ASUU is not in a position to solve those problems. ASUU is not in a position to resolve those issues. It is all in the hands of the government. And the government has said that, look, as regards this salary issue, we are not going to pay for work not done. And that has been their stance, and they have not moved.
They're sticking to it.
So it is now left for ASUU to then look at what other things can we do to make the government, you know, at least, even if it's come all the way to our demands, but meet us halfway into, you know, the conversations and the negotiations. As it is today, negotiations have ended. Like, no negotiations whatsoever happening anywhere. What the Speaker of, you know, of the House of Reps did, even that intervention in itself, has hit the walls.
Hit the wall. Hit the rocks.
You know, so that in itself has stopped. So, at the moment, ASUU has to be very careful as to what's next to do. You can't say you want to go on strike, especially when you know that the disposition of those who are there at the moment is that those issues have been resolved to the best of their abilities. So if you continue to say you want to go on strike, there's every likelihood that you are just going to be
shooting yourself in the foot.
Just even putting in, you know, it's like you trying to get water from the rock.
Okay.
It will all just be something like exercise in futility. Unless you're also willing to drag it out with them until they pack their bags and baggages and go. If you are willing to drag it with them that for that long, after all, you've dragged it with them for eight months. How many months remaining?
Abi?
December plus another 5 months.
Yeah.
Basically 6 months. So if you then say, okay, let's drag it out with these people for another 6 months until they pack their load and go. And then we'll probably then see if the new set of people coming in may be reasonable enough to look at some of our demands and maybe even consider paying us backlog of salaries. But by the time you do that and you calculate 8 month salaries and 6 month salaries, that is a whole year of salaries that you are asking for.
A whole year plus.
Plus. Which, even if you have a new government, the likelihood that that government will pay you a whole year budgeted fund, you know, and then in addition to the one that would would be running concurrently.
Yeah, concurrently.
You don't see that. No government in its right senses would allow you to do that. No government would come and make promises of that nature and say that, don't worry, God, we will pay 1 year when you are still paying the one that is running.
That is running.
So you see that it's a very difficult situation. The people who are there at the moment, they understand the game. And that's why you're seeing them. They are not budging at all, because they know that it's a very difficult situation at the moment. And if they hold on to their guns, they would be able to send a very strong signal, and a strong message that going on strike, you know, is not the
way forward.
Is not the way forward.
All right.
And I sorry, just to add to this conversation. All right. Look, any union right now, especially in the education sector, calling for a strike action would have to do serious work to convince its members, that let's go on this strike. We will collect our pay. They would ask you, the one we have gone and we are back, how far
did we get?
You see, so because there's this fear that those 8 months' salaries may likely not be paid at all,
and the implications are dire.
Of course, implications are dire. Of course, because at the end of the day, the education sector suffers, and of course, the students suffer, would be at the tail end of the tap, drinking whatever comes from whatever filter or whatever rofo that they have scattered, scattered at the top.
We have a leadership crisis.
So that's why it's important that going forward, there has to be some level of wisdom put into this. There has to be some level of
reasoning.
You know, reasoning. And for me, I would beg them. I think at the moment, let's not consider going on any strike action. For now, let's just chill it out, you know, and let's see, you know, how we can sustain it, sustain this present arrangement. I know it's difficult. People have gone through a lot, borrowing monies and then hoping that once this comes, you know,
because
how do you think people survive for those 8 months?
8 months. Very true.
You know, so it's going to be difficult, but let's just chill it out for another 6 months and hope and pray that the people are the most affected are seeing all these things and are factoring all these things into their decision-making process.
Ah, all right. And now, as Skywalker mentioned, you know, people should just wait this out and, you know, try and, you know, just chill out for the next 6 months. Some people, though, are not waiting anything out, as Egon. We are getting reports, this one coming from the Vanguard newspaper, that 4,000 medical doctors to migrate soon. The implications of this are just something else. Doctors are leaving the country every single day. Not just doctors anyway, but these particular statistics are mind-boggling. What do you think?
Well, which day was it that I was reading that we have a ratio of one doctor to 6,400 patients? That was just barely a week ago. And now the number is going to move from that 6,004 to one doctor to 10,000 patients ratio. But of course, it doesn't concern them because they don't do their medical checkup here. Once they have any issue whatsoever, they jet out to go and see their doctors outside, you know, and that is it. But for the Nigerians, you know, for the average Nigerians, which is a majority, including the 133 million that are poor, according to NBS statistics, you understand, we see those people that will be able to afford to take, go and do checkup for headache outside the country, you know. So when we bring out the statistics, this is just to further help our people make better decisions, further help our people see what is happening, see what is wrong, you know, and understand that leadership is critical at every level, and that we should not focus on pecuniary gains. We should not look at the immediate. We should not be moved by stomach. We should not be moved by hunger, but we should be moved by a desire to have a level playing ground for everybody, that it's possible for us all to prosper. There are nations that have been doing it, you understand, and we too, we can do it. Forget anything they bring about, maybe our population. Yes, our population, it could be an issue, but India is still topping us. China is still topping us. And, you know, no matter how bad the region is, we can't compare the region to them. We have got to that point where we've become the poverty capital of the world. And in fact, as interesting as it may be, we have people even going for medical tourism in India. And recall that we used to have people come to train here from India just years back when I was in primary school, when I was in secondary school. You understand? We some of us were privileged to attend school with
public school.
Yeah, public school, not private school. Public school, public secondary school, because I never had the privilege of going to any private secondary school. I went all public. In fact, my primary school concept is all public. Yeah, so what am I saying? And we had the privilege of having fellow foreign students, have foreign teachers, you know, and all that, either Indian, either Pakistani, either British, Egyptian, or whatever. Right. You know, we had that mix, you know. But now, we've gotten to this point where doctors get trained here. They get trained here. You get the point, right? They get trained here, but then they jet out. See, any one of them that has a chance, because if you look at the way things are, to be sincere and to follow the thinking of a friend, things are bleak, as in bleak. Then with the options we have on ground too, it's looking as if
let me ask Sake, since he's here with us. Sake, this is a crisis. It's some people are calling it a disaster in the health sectors. Could we see a time where we would get to that point where we wouldn't have doctors in Nigeria anymore? A friend of mine joked about the fact that traditional doctors would soon start occupying hospitals. At this point in time, what's your take?
Just to take it at the tail end of your question, already traditional healers, already the most common drugs now are herbal drugs. It's online, it's on social media. People are self-medicating at a rate that had not happened in the 70s or 80s before. Because you get to the hospital, you can't see a professional for 1-2 hours. And if you go to the private, I'm sorry. See, that 5,000 for CAD and 10,000 will have taken care of their malaria how many times over? They self-medicate. Those are the realities. And it doesn't bother our leader, like Essigon said. If they have a dick, they travel out. We see how the way they travel out for one excuse or the other. It just remains for them to go and be peeing abroad now. You know? And this is not just the health sector. It's about the educational sector also. People go as near as Benin Republic. When I was in the university, we thought those places were like inferior. I'm sorry to use that word. Academically, churros. Togo, Benin, to go and study there, even Ghana. Because Ghanaians were here. They were teaching us here. And then that's where people going. And in within Nigeria, you have poor private university that, if you place the size by my secondary school, you wonder what justification it is. But then, we are not doing anything. And like he said, if you are in a mess and you have a plan of a way out, it's a matter of time. This is the reality of people should. There's no plan. And for me, the most unfortunate thing is that, for example, the next election we're all looking to, nobody has given me any credible plan. It's talk. And that's the talk we had 7-8 years ago. We will do refinery. It's wrong for lecturers to strike. And government is running on. It's wrong. A serious government could have fixed that. A serious government could have fixed road.
Power.
A serious government could have fixed power. We don't have power. We don't have road.
Okay. All right. Now, Skywalker.
Well, I think, you see, if you want to look at this issue of migration and you want to, you know...
Is this one migration or escape?
Migration.
There's a difference, my brother. This one most time is escape.
But
escape. You see people get into the airport and then they are rolling on the floor, social media, and it's like, you know... It's a prison break.
I agree with you that and, you know and, that feeling of okay, I am out of the woods, like I have escaped from the jungle. You get so that feeling, of course, is not something that you can take away from those who have finally found a way, because even getting out itself is not an easy thing.
Easy process, true.
The fact that we're seeing medical doctors are moving, go and ask them, they will tell you stories.
Yes, they are going.
It's not that easy to leave the country.
Mm.
I have also seen people that have gone and have returned in weeks. Because again, moving to a new place completely, because of this rush to leave where you are, people don't do the needful. People don't put in the necessary measures.
Mm.
And that's why you are hearing this clamor, you know, of recent by those who have already moved to tell Nigerians that, look, if you are going to even move, don't move with your family at once. Because that has become a problem, especially in the UK, for instance. And you see the UK government trying to reduce the number of people you can bring along with you, especially if you are a student.
Hmm.
So that is because once Nigerians get a means, once one person gets a means, he files for five other people to come along with him.
Many.
And most times, it's not like they have, you know, solidified the arrangements. It's not like they have gotten, you know, the accommodation. Because in the UK, accommodation has become a big problem as it is. Alone, Nigerians that have left alone, there are over 24,000. That's as of last month or thereabouts when I was reading the figure. So it must have increased
by now.
And this is the problem. Everybody wants to go, you know, look for greener pastures.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something that anybody can stop. Even if you fix Nigeria's health sector, for instance, and you provide everything that you feel you can provide within the necessary, you know, or the available resources that you have, people will still go.
They will still move.
But the issue here is that there are some people, in fact, most of those people, all they are just looking for is something a bit better than what is now.
Yeah.
And really, you will not see them. Look, do you know the cold that is in the UK at the moment?
Mm.
For some of us that have grown up in the temperate regions, do you think it's easy to adapt to -2 degrees? Or -4 degrees? Or -10 degrees? Or -8 degrees?
-20.
It's not a joke.
Mm.
And to stay warm is not for free.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was complaining just on social media I think last week or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was saying that, do you know how much it is to keep warm? We that we are here complaining of too much sun in Ondo State, for instance.
Mm.
That do you know how much it will cost you to keep your house warm?
All right.
For a month.
For a day.
For a day, only 40 pounds.
So, all right. 40 pounds, look,
40 pounds, eh?
Only for how many hours? No, we're talking
about. No, no,
40 pounds, that's
law. 40 law.
So that student tell you that the situation there too is not that easy.
Okay.
But our call is to those who are managing their affairs here. These people don't want to go.
They really don't.
If you ask them, if you bring them, if things were a bit okay here, they won't go. They will stay here and manage themselves. But that's not the case.
Right.
And that's why you hear government officials who come and tell you that the number of people that are leaving, medical doctors that are leaving, is not much. After all, they are just about, just last week or so, the Minister of Health was in at an event and he reiterated it. I would exactly the figures he put out there. He said the number of medical doctors leaving the country, or that have even left, according to him, they are not up to 1,000. And that Nigeria is producing at least 3,000 medical doctors every year.
Shenanigan.
But the question I ask him is that those that are leaving and those that you are producing, are they at par?
Those ones with experience are going.
They're the ones that are going. And is it this new, this gray hair, this gray ones that you just pushed out from universities that have gone on strike for 8 months? That you want to replace with this person that have got experience. So that is just a way to, you know, just also tell you that the necessary measures to cope this and then to prevent this mass exodus is put in place. We don't have the people who who would put this in place.
All right. Now we can only hope for the best for now, and hope that Nigerians are seeing everything that is going on right now, so they can make the best decisions. Now this comes to a situation that happened over the weekend right here in Ondo State, Esigun. We're getting reports from Premium Times that gunmen attacked two places in the middle of the night on Friday, and the bodies were found on Saturday right here in Ondo State. It happened in the Ikariakoko area of the state. What is your take as to this, especially the fact that it's two security guards that were reportedly killed?
Well, we'll have loved to have more details, but that's the detail we have. And really want to commiserate with the families that lost their loved ones, because it's a sad incident. And the manner of their death too, I mean, it's really, really uncalled for. When you hear that people lose their lives needlessly, for that matter, now that hits differently. It's a whole kind of, a whole different kind of pain, you know, to deal with. So, but having said that, the issue is not that a crime is committed, you know, but the issue is
the deterrence.
So, after the crime has been committed, then what happens? Which is what we're talking about here. Now, we need to really get to that point where we do this community policing thing. I know you will say that, yeah, they came after security operatives and all that. That is part of the hazards of their life, of their job, you know, and all that. But we can actually really do better than what we are doing presently. And that is what all this conversation is all about. We can do better than what we are doing. You know, there's the socioeconomic aspect of handling this issue. And then there's the gadgets, you know, putting on the necessary gadgets, that's technology. And then there's the manpower aspect as well. There's the intelligence aspect. So all of these things are components, you know, that should all be in place to ensure that we have a safer society. I mean, if you go to places, because we're in a world that we have access to information of things happening in other parts of the world, you know, in other countries. And you can check the crime statistics country to country and see that there are some countries that, you know, they have really, really low
crime rates.
Really, really low. And then you want to ask yourself, why is that? How were they able to achieve that? Not just achieve it, but sustain it. You know, because this concept is supposed to be that, man, how are things working in your place? And then I apply it to mine. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not just supposed to be that, man, how did you get these new shoes? How much are they? Then I want to go and get them. Oh, man, see this, your new car, man. If you see the kind of house where this guy built them, I want to, you know. But
that's our mentality.
Consumerism. Just consumption. But adding value, you know, how did you solve this problem? How were you able to defeat malaria in your country? How are you able to handle crime in your country and bring it to this level? How are you able to handle poverty, you know, and ensure that a larger percentage of people are not poor? How are you able to do that? We don't do that. You understand? It's other things that we do. So it's really, really, you know, a sad incident. And I'm hoping and I'm praying, you know, that the matter will be resolved, you know, because they have to get those people.
Yes.
They really have to get them. All it's right. important that they do.
So, okay, what's your take?
I like to commiserate with the family, and I want to say that to concerning our security, I think we have talked so much and we've done things to catch the headline rather than doing the real thing. For me, the real thing, even with the existing structure, apart from the community policing we're all advocating for, we've done next to nothing. You need to see the pictures of some police stations. Let's leave America, third world country, Singapore. Let's talk of some countries. Let's talk of South Africa. Let's talk of, you know, some countries that we think we should be at par with. Take a visit to the average police station in Nigeria. There's nothing there. I'm sorry to say. Office furniture don't look like. And also, some of these guys are graduates. People even in ministry are not even sitting in those kind of offices. And those facilities have never been upgraded. If, as a matter of fact, the police stations that are recently built mostly were built by communities who, after they were being plundered over time, will build police stations and go and beg, lobby, so that they can post police there. you can check. And these are the structures we want to use to combat crime. Communities are developing. There are some communities when you go inside, there's no police. The police station is kilometers away from them. The roads are unreachable. So if let's assume you have a security number that you can call, how do they assess it? And that's why, for me, that's why it looks bleak. Because we are not planning. We are not. In those days, the Ministry of Works, Urban Planning, when things like that, when a community is being set up, which I know for a fact, there are provisions for police station, for, you know, health center. Because once you open up a new community, they expect it to be self-sustaining. So some basic things are there. It will be there on paper when it's being approved. Who enforces that is there? So go to Igoba, go to some of those communities. It will take the chief or whatever or a responsible person there to lobby for a police post to be there. So when the police post is not even and it's not adequately equipped, how do we combat?
All right. Skywalker, Sake has mentioned that it seems bleak because it seems like we do not have a plan. Do you agree?
Well, you see, for me, this method that we are running at the moment, like I've always insisted, that it's not working and we need to overhaul it. But you see, that cry in itself has not gotten the necessary traction that would bring about the kind of change that we are looking for. Mm-hmm. Some governors have mouthed it, but some politicians have even used it as campaign slogans and campaign manifestos and all that.
When they get
but we have seen that it is not, it's like Jacob and Esau. You know, you feel the hair. You think that, okay, by the time they get in, they are going to do the needful. Alas, you realize that they are actually not Esau. They were actually, you know, Jacob. So they remove that toga. Once they get there, they remove that toga, that campaign toga, and put it by the side. And then the real thing, business as usual, continues. Yes. So that for me is the problem. But let's even assume that we want to hold on to this system that is not working and we want to reinforce it. I think that's where the argument that Sake is making at the moment comes to light. Because again, it is not about the city centers. Most of the crimes that you see, are being committed by these criminals. They don't go to where they know the police headquarters is now. They don't go to all those places. They go to places they know, are vulnerable, where they know even if you call for help, before help would come, it would take a while. It would take a long time. Those are the areas they go to. The banks that you have seen, especially in those states that have been robbed, you think they come to they go to Alagbaka? What are you looking for there? They go to those very suburban areas where they know that with just a little effort, you can dismantle the police structure there. And or you know that even if you go and you start your operation, police that are there, confidence have no good day to show. They would all have, run non heketa seketa and look for where to hide to save their lives. So those are the places they go to. So what would you then, expect? Is it not to begin to reinforce those places? See how we can make those places, police presence in those places a lot stronger?
Stronger.
We are talking about recruitment of police and it is causing fight.
War.
To recruit war. To recruit police and put them in place. It is war.
It's war.
And why should that be a problem?
Why should that be? So you see, these are the issues. And not until we begin to genuinely attend to these issues, we will not get the look. And that's why sometimes when you see Nigerians come and complain about the government, they are not what have you seen that's been done? What have they put in place that is sufficient enough to solve it? So why are we expecting something that we did not pay for? You didn't pay for something, you're expecting the thing to be delivered.
All right,
so it's just deceiving ourselves and fooling ourselves around. We are not doing what is needed to be done. And for me, the signs that we're not doing what we need to do are in these killings that you are seeing every day.
We wake up to it every day.
Look at the 15 farmers that were killed in Kaduna.
Very true.
Farmers who just decided to go to their farms.
because they increase levy.
And across three local, Giwa, Kajuru, and Birningwari, they went there and killed them.
Slaughtered them.
The killings that have been happening in Plateau State, Bokkos local government especially, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
People would go and attack a community after killing them.
Then go back again.
They will go leave them for like a day or two.
A day or two. Then go back to that same place.
Mekatako is one place that I know very well in Bokkos because they have maize. They went there and killed people. Meanwhile, their governor is everywhere campaigning.
All right.
So these are the issues.
All right. Very, 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 very sad developments that we are talking about here on Trending Issues, Futari 93.1 FM. Still the morning show, Essie Gone. Let me come back to you real quick. You notice there are some topics that we have been discussing that just seem like they don't want to go away. And the next one is this issue of subsidy. Now, the NNPC, the marketers are saying that NNPC petrol price without subsidy is 400 naira, per liter. This is something that we have said many times without number before. What do you think?
I mean, I think it was about last year or 2 years ago that that we already started. Yeah, that things are going to get to that point because that is where things are getting to. You see, which I think it was the central bank governor that was talking in a conference. Was it 2 days ago thereabouts that he mentioned that they've not gotten any remittance whatsoever from NNPC.
NNPC is government by itself.
As in our like. But on the flip side, I think we should rejoice that they have discovered oil in the north. For me, that is. So let me just be positive. Even while I try to let our people know that, you see, what I've been saying all this while, it's not as if we are bad. No, and it's not as if we are prophets of doom. But you see, we have studied these people. We have looked at antecedents. And we've known that this is where the matter will get to. Especially if you fail to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Let me paint it for you, Claire, so you understand. So you are traveling to Jos from Akure here. And when you woke up in the morning, you realize that your tire was a bit lower than it was, but still firm, still very, very firm. And you say that, man, is it not just that we're going? And you continue to travel. You understand? Even with a leak. You know that the car will take you. It will move. You understand? It will move. You might get to Akoko. You might get to Kogi. But you see, eventually, it will leak out. And when it leaks out, then you have a flat tire. Now, you might decide, like a lot of our leaders do, that you see, it is still tire. Let's still continue to drive. Which is what we have been doing. I mean, I know that there are people who have seen a couple of taxis here.
Whose tire will be driving. That's a good.
Why?
A good one.
Because at that point in time, they know that now there's nothing I can do. So I will just drag it. You know, I mean, parking here will not pay me. So let me just drag it to
as long as I can
carry it. At least by the time the rim will start being what is hitting the road, they will now stop there and know that that is what we are doing,
All right.
In case if people don't understand, so that if you see that picture, that's exactly what we are doing. And that's why I say that hey, the capacity we have at the helm of affairs right now. Ojino.
Wonderful. Okay. What do you think?
You see, there's a proverb that said that the best time to plant a tree was some years back, and the next best time is now. For me, the fright is that we don't have people who seems to have the planning and the capacity.
Or the
this
wheel.
Is 7 years plus. Refinery is not working. And people are collecting salary. We have a prime.
And they are complaining about roasted
corn. We have Minister of Petroleum We have State Minister of Petroleum. We have NNPC MD. We have people like that. And 7.5 years have gone. They are collecting salary. Refinery is not working. ASU only went on strike for 8 months. They say they can't collect salary. See injustice. No, I'm telling. Because is the refinery working? Is somebody not the Minister for Petroleum? Do we not have State Minister?
Yes.
Do we not have other people who we can call to order? And this is my last take on it.
Okay.
You see, if we continue to run government like this, that you're in charge of things, you mess it up, there's no repercussion whatsoever.
At all.
There's no repercussion. Nobody is calling you to account, to give account of wasting national resources.
All right.
There's no consequence.
All right.
Then all of us will continue to suffer. Like
we've
this.
Seen, Essigone, you shared a post where a particular president or vice president was arrested for, you know,
that's in Malawi.
Yes, in Malawi and all of that. So I perfectly understand what Sake is talking about. But let me bring this one now to Skywalker. Essigone already hinted at this. The Central Bank of Nigeria saying that crude oil sales proceeds into Nigerians' foreign reserves is down to zero.
The CBN governor is just reiterating what we already know. It's not news. What he's saying is not news, because again we have also in recent weeks seen that those who are hell bent in stealing, you know, have not stopped walking. So,
thank you. And
truth is that when you have a situation where government is stealing from government, that is something that nobody can really figure out.
No, nobody can.
Because the crude oil itself is not stolen by anybody but those people who are in government.
Government.
And this is not coming from me. If you hear most specialists, in fact, there was this man, forgotten his name now, he's worked in NNPC for decades. He's retired now.
Okay.
He came and then he spoke about it at length in one interview that I monitored. And he insisted that this is not a new problem. And that the NNPC cannot claim not to know that this was happening under their watch. But that the scale at which the thing has happened, it is now beyond control.
What they can control.
That's why you're seeing most international oil companies, you know, exiting, want to leave, because already the conditions are getting unprofitable.
Unfavorable, yes.
And unfavorable. So it is just very pathetic that in a government that rode into power, you know, with this anti-corruption mantra, you would have thought that this, you know, would be their number one issue to tackle. Because again, you know that the way it is now, this is the major source of income, dollars, that the Nigerian economy depends on. So you would do everything you can
to protect that source.
But some again have said that in time, like for some years, that they had tried, especially at the early stages when they came in.
Okay.
But after a while, I think the people who now got, they also discovered that, look, that's why I keep saying it too, that it's not as easy as we say it all. Because once you get there, there are people already seated and they will call you and say, oh God, this is how we
come
do it here.
Come and eat.
This is how we roll.
And if you don't roll
with them, consequences day. So, but at the moment, you know, it is beginning to affect everybody in the sector.
Very true.
And that's why the NNPC is not bringing 1 naira to FAC. Everything has dried up. So let's just hope that the new people coming in already understand, you know, the situation, and they know that their work has been clearly cut out for them. Because at the moment, I'm even afraid. Because most of them, when you hear them talk, they are just like people who are marketing a car without an engine.
All right.
You know, you want to sell a car. but engine no day there.
Mm. All right.
And you must sell it. And Nigerians will buy it.
All right.
When let me just
ask S. Egon, you have the last word for the day. How dire is it the fact that NNPC has not remitted anything into the federal allocation
account? What is the basis for making our budget? It's predicated on the price of the barrel of crude oil.
NNPC no give money.
So what is now going to happen?
Where are they
going to?
We borrow
to buy roasted corn.
Well, I don't know anything about that one.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. That's all we can take for today on Trending Issues. Do stay tuned. News on the Globe is up next.